We have a special announcement.
Yes, we do. We are doing a live show for Melbourne Fringe.
Woo! It's extra exciting this year. It's all online, which is right up our alley. So we'll be recording a very special Melbourne edition of the podcast where we talk all things scary and spooky in Melbourne. The show is on November 25th at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm. And we're coming live to you from our pod office, so you can watch it from anywhere that you have an internet connection, phone, laptop, smart TV, iPod, if people still use them, iPad, sure, whatever. But yeah, so you can get tickets from our Instagram, which is just Dead Obsessed Podcast, or you can head to the Fringe website and just type in Dead Obsessed Live.
As you can hear from us, we're pretty excited about it. So.
We're so keen. I'm so nervous, but I'm so excited. We're going to have to do our makeup for once and like look presentable and not wear pajamas. Or maybe we will wear pajamas.
Yeah, I can't guarantee the pajamas thing.
There might be pajamas. Come and hang out. There will be a chat and stuff as well, so we can interact with you live too. So it's not too different. But this way you don't have to leave your house and we don't have to leave ours, which is great for introverts like us. So grab your tickets, come on over, send us a message when you've got them. Let us know and we'll see you there. 25th of November, 6 p.m. from your lounge room or anywhere that you have internet.
Woo!
Woohoo! Bye!
Bye!
This is Dead Obsessed. So we're both tired.
We're exhausted.
Yeah. So Laura's going to give us some facts to make us giggly before you start talking about gross things.
We've got to amp ourselves up a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, I'm Ash.
I'm Laura. Because we always forget that every single time.
Yeah.
In China, 2013, scientists were able to grow a human tooth from scratch using stem cells taken from urine.
I hate that.
That's really gross.
Piss mouth.
Piss mouth.
That's what it is.
Oh, see, now I'm just thinking of Big Mouth and how the new season's coming out on December 4th.
Is it?
Yep. I'll find one more.
Mm-hmm. You want to do one more?
Yeah, I want to do one more.
Okay.
Got to finish on something strong, you know? Oh, what? Okay. Originally, Marge Simpson's hairstyle was designed that way because the creator, Matt Groening, wanted to hide her rabbit ears.
What?
That's all it says. I have no more
rabbit ears.
Yeah, I think he meant Marge Simpson was going to be half rabbit.
Or that's something. Great. I'd watch that.
So she had this big, tall hair and then...
That's fabulous.
I'm going to have to look into that now.
Yeah.
All right. Do we feel more revved?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Marge, you don't. I can tell.
Marge has rabbit. I'm just thinking about the rabbit ears.
Yeah, why just her though? Like, why wouldn't there be like...
Surely he has a reason. Maybe she was meant to be like a Futurama character instead.
Maybe. Oh, no, didn't Matt Groening have like a comic series called like Bongo or something and it was a rabbit?
I don't know. Maybe.
Who knows?
Maybe he just has a thing for rabbits.
It's a bit creepy.
Who's going first?
What?
Who's going first? Is it? I think it's you.
Yeah, I was going to go first because you've got a big one this episode.
Yes.
Yes. Before I get started, I wanted to put a little disclosure about this case. for people who are our dedicated listeners, who listen to more than just one episode, first of all, thank you. But if you listened to the last episode, I talked about twins and I talked about reincarnation. And at the end of the episode, I had a footnote where I said I would look into another case. I briefly talked about...
Oh, right. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So in Daika and Kakshapa Ishwara, that's right. I'm going to butcher some more Sri Lankan names today.
Hell yeah.
That's exciting.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yep. I'm doing my best, guys. I'm now realizing I talk very loud in my normal life.
You project a lot. Just naturally.
Yeah. I grew up doing like musical theater and stuff. And they're like,
so did I.
To talk from the diaphragm. And then I think I just never stopped.
You're like, I don't know how to turn it off. I can't stop yelling.
See, like, I feel like I'm whispering right now.
No, see, that's a normal inside person voice.
Sorry, everyone I've ever talked to.
Everybody just refers to you as that bitch that yells all the time. She just thinks everybody's deaf. Either maybe that... you're a little bit deaf and you just haven't figured it out yet.
No, because like I hear everyone else fine. It's just I always think I need to speak loud. Maybe it's because no one listens to me. So I think the louder the better.
Ah. See, I went the opposite. If no one listens to me, I might as well just say whatever the fuck I want.
Oh, I say whatever the fuck I want. I just say it loudly.
Oh, I usually, not necessarily under my breath, but I just sort of don't pay attention to what anybody else is doing. Just say it whenever.
You're like a running commentary. Just like, oh, well, I think that's fucking stupid. Or
yeah, I'm just an IRL narrator.
I like that. That's pretty cool.
Anyway, monozygotic gyoza. What?
Yeah, so they're monozygotic twins, which means that they were born from the same egg. So there's not two eggs that are fertilized, just right. One.
Yeah.
Same as the Pollock twins that I talked about last week. Mm-hmm. But I like
too many J's.
Yeah, so many J's. Mm-hmm. Well, technically the title's wrong because there's three J's and one G.
Well, no, I don't say four. I say a womb full of J's.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Okay. There's just one we haven't. One that's not in the womb.
Maybe somebody else misspelled it and it is a J.
See, it actually really bothered me because Jillian can be spelled with a J, but it wasn't. It was spelled with a G.
Gillian.
Anyways, we can't go there again.
We can, but we won't.
No, because then I'll get annoyed. Oh, this is how you feel when I frustrate you all the time.
Yes.
This is going to frustrate you again.
I'm going to teach you how to edit and you can deal with this shit.
No, thank you. Anyways, back to the story. So yeah, this is another case of monozygotic twins that were allegedly reincarnated spirits. But with this case, it was really difficult to find information. A lot of what I found was like excerpts from books that were published like in the 90s. Mm. And it was sort of like the same paragraph, just kind of reproduced in different sources. So it wasn't like
everybody quoted from the same one thing.
It almost was like there was like this book that was written, which was like a compilation of reincarnated twin stories. And then it was like referenced in a bunch of other books where it was like, according to this book where this thing was written. And I was like, this is the same book. So I did find other books written that said their own things, but basically it was like these twins were born, one scientist studied them, and then everyone's just kind of commented on this one study.
Oh God.
Okay. Yeah.
I see why you were annoyed by it now.
Very annoyed. Which I mean, this case is from 1972, so it's a bit older. But I guess it, yeah, I mean, I usually try and do a real deep dive. I like to get lots of sources. I like to fact check everything. And this was really difficult. Plus, like, I would find some websites that would talk about the twins, but then they would have the wrong name or the wrong information attached to the twin. And
that's annoying.
Yeah. So what I did find some credible stuff. I've tried to sort of put it together the best I can. It's just not the most beautifully presented story, I guess.
Okay, fair enough. We forgive you in advance.
Thank you. I apologize for the Sri Lankan names I'm about to butcher.
yeah.
I'm not going to say any of them right, but I'll do my best.
Imagine if people start making a drinking game of, like, every time we fuck up a word, they have to take a sip.
Oh, people would die.
Yeah. Yeah. They really would. Especially if I released episodes uncut. Be good, right?
Yeah, particularly with all the false starts and the like, the one you did the other week where you started telling a story and about halfway through you were like, no, I need to start this again.
Can I please start again? Yeah.
That happened. Okay, so let's get into the story. So Indika and Kakshapa Ishwara were a set of monozygotic twin boys that were born in Sri Lanka in 1972. What was interesting about them is that the spirits that they were allegedly reincarnations of had nothing to do with their family, nothing to do with their friend circles.
Just random strangers.
Completely random people. Okay. And the random people didn't even know each other either. So it wasn't like, oh, they were two sisters just like from a different town.
Right.
It was completely random people, which make of that what you will.
I will. Thank you very much.
I will form my own opinions. So yeah, they knew nothing about them. And when I was researching, there was so much more information about Indika than there was about Kakshapa. Like, I found almost nothing about him.
One of them just wasn't liked as much.
That's literally how it came across. I know, like, poor Kakshapa, but it's like, basically he started talking about this past life where he was killed by an insurgent and he was like this older spirit. But his family was basically just like, no, we don't want to listen to you.
No, thank you.
Like, there was no details about, like, names, ages, towns, nothing. And there wasn't even, like, information on what he would say about it, apart from that he was killed by an insurgent. So, I don't know what happened there. But then all of a sudden, like, Indike's come along and he's spouting all this stuff and they're, like, hanging off in every word and they're, like, investigating it and they're going into it. And I'm just like, what? What happened there? So that was the first
Maybe it's like a boy who cried wolf.
Well, I did
So one of them just lies all the time. So they're like, yeah, fuck off. And then the other one's a good one. And he's like, I'm going to get away with the biggest thing.
Well, because I looked into it because my first thought was maybe Indike came out with his story first. And then maybe Kakshapa was like, oh, no, me too.
Right, yeah.
But Kakshapa started talking first.
Okay, so that doesn't make sense.
No. Which I was like, well, why? Yeah, so basically there was a whole lot of stuff about Indike. So at about the age of 3, he started chattering away about a life that had nothing to do with his own. He said that he was from a town named Balapitya, which was 30 miles. Were you going to make fun of me?
No.
Oh, okay.
I just said bless you.
Thank you.
Tate got upset with me the other day. Oh god, we're getting sidetracked again. Tate got upset with me the other day because he yawned on while we were recording and I didn't say bless you. He was like, you've said it since we were like 13. What the fuck is wrong with you? And I was like, honestly, I wasn't listening to you.
Okay, I was about to say, like, are you supposed to say bless you when someone yawns? But it's no. Just, it's a you thing.
Yes.
Okay. That's fine. We just don't question it and move on. Yeah, so basically this town is 30 miles or 48 kilometers from his actual hotel, hometown.
His hotel.
I'm not doing well.
3-year-old staying in a hotel by himself. He owns this one.
Yeah, he struts down the corridors.
So it's 50 Ks. All right. So not super far, but far enough away for Sri Lanka in the 70s.
Yeah, far enough that it's like it's different circles of people. It's different.
Yeah.
You know. He also spoke of his other Ambalangoda mother and father. Which is another town that was near Balapitya. He also spoke of a nickname he allegedly had, which was Baby Mahatya or Baby Boss / Master.
That's adorable.
It was really cute, but then it was like, that's actually really...
Were they like rich then?
Well, the other family was like, I wouldn't say rich, but they had electricity and trucks and stuff like that. So I think they were middle to upper class. But not
I'm just wondering if maybe they had like a servant or something like that, or somebody that worked for them, and that's why they called him Baby Master, because that's like the boss's baby.
Maybe. That could be it. I think they do mention people work for the family, but I don't know if they were.
That might be it. They were servants. That's a cute nickname.
It is a bit cute.
That's where Boss Baby came from. No, it's not. That's a lie.
Sorry. Other way around. Boss Baby, Baby Boss. He also spoke of an older sister named Malkansi, who he said they would ride bikes.
Does that come with the question mark?
I actually need to make this a bit bigger because I can't read.
You have your glasses on.
I know.
Oh, that's terrifying.
I told you that when I went to get my eyes tested, because I thought my prescription changed because everything was really blurry. And I got them I got them tested and the guy's like, look, your prescription's changed a little bit, but we don't have glasses strong enough for you. So your eyesight's just going to always be a little bit bad. And I was like, thank you.
That's great.
Yeah, so that's why sometimes, like, even with my glasses on, I'm, like, squinting and I'm trying to read and I'm like, what?
God damn.
Yeah, it's bad. I can drive safely, though. Like, I'm fine. Actually, another sidetrack. I didn't wear glasses for, like, several years for some reason in high school. Like, I had them. I stopped wearing them. And then I was in, like, VC and I was getting all these headaches. And so I went and got my eyes tested. And the guy was like, do you have your learners? And I was like, yes. And he's like, you shouldn't be on the roads.
Wow.
And I was like, really? And he's like, yes. He's like, you need a severe prescription. He's like, it's so bad that when you get your glasses, you're going to have to do this flippy thing to adjust to them. Because he's like, you'll just have blinding headaches trying to adjust to them.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm blind, guys.
That's insane.
Yeah. Anyways.
Right. So, sorry. Recap. Twins.
Yeah.
One of them is not believed about having an additional life.
Mm-hmm.
Additional life. Oh, my God. I play so many video games.
Nerd alert.
The other one. Fuck you. I'm a geek. You're a nerd. You big glasses.
Oh, rude.
The other one is believed and sort of doted over, and he can recall that his life is from a baby...
Another town
away with different family.
Yeah, so he's got a sister that he talks about riding bikes with. He's got an uncle called Premisiri who is a businessman. He talks about that. He also claims that he has a pet calf and a dog.
I want a baby cow.
Hell yeah. Just like, come on, Fido.
But it's a cow. You'd name your cow Fido?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because imagine,
I'm
like,
not going to say... No, you don't have to explain this. Fine. Cool. I'm not going to say anything about it.
And then also at the home, they had a car and a truck, which... For 70 Sri Lanka, that's pretty noticeable.
Yeah.
There was also details that he would talk about. So things like, obviously, they follow the Buddhist faith in Sri Lanka. So the Buddhist temple that his actual family goes to, behind the Buddha statue, there was a white sheet that was hung up. And then the one he talks about is a red sheet. So his So his family's sitting there being like, where did this red sheet come from? So they were all a bit confused. He would also talk about how his father wears pants, when his actual father always wore a sarong. So they were like, who are you talking about?
Yeah, rad.
He also noted that his Ambalangoda mother was darker, taller, and fatter than his current mother, and that his home was connected to electricity, which the one he lived in wasn't. So they didn't have electricity.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So they're basically sitting there being like, the fuck are you talking about? That's not our house.
That is not my home, sir.
No. So,
and he's three, right?
He's three, yeah. Right. Well, he started talking about stuff at three. I think it's...
Okay.
I think, again, like, from what I've kind of put together, it's the same as the Pollock case where, like, between three and five is the main ages.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of, like, they're fine as babies. They reach three. They start spattering nonsense. By about 5 to 7, it starts fading away. And then they grow up normally.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, about three is when it started, but again, there's not a lot of information about what they said when.
Yeah, okay.
So the boy's father, Indaka's father, had a work colleague who worked in Balapitya, and he asked his friend to see if he could track down a family that matched all of these descriptions. And the father's friend agreed, and it didn't take long until they found a family that matched everything perfectly. And what was interesting about this family was that their oldest son had actually just died, age 10, from encephalitis.
Oh.
So, that's a bit spooky. The boy's name was Dashana, and when Dashana's family heard about Indaika and his uncanny knowledge about the family, they made the trip down to see the Ishwaras and to meet him and see for themselves and kind of suss out the situation. And basically everything that Indaika was saying was spot on. Like, they couldn't really fault it, apart from the fact that, like, what was it? Oh, so they technically didn't have a car and a truck at the house. It was like they owned a car, but then a truck would often visit. But like that.
Right.
It was stuff like that. So
a 10-year-old wouldn't really be able to tell the difference anyway.
No.
Yeah.
So it was like little things like that, but everything else was like bang on. And they're like, what the hell? And on one really spooky occasion, Indaika actually went up to Balapitya with his family to go visit their house and see it all. And when Indaika got there, he was like frantically looking around trying to find something. Like, he's wandering the grounds, he's trying to find something, but no one knew what he was looking for. He's
looking for the cow.
The cow was there.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
So he's like, hey cow, I know you. And then he's like, where's this thing I'm looking for? So he starts like going all around, and eventually he finds what he's looking for. And on a concrete wall that was right next to a drain was written Darshana 1965, and none of the family knew it was there.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. That was the one that stood out for me where I was like, okay, that's weird. But like none of his family had seen it before. It was like, from what I read, it was like kind of hidden on the wall. It was kind of covered up by some grass or moss or something. And he's gone over, like, wiped it aside, and it was, like, he'd written it in the concrete as it was drying. So only he knew it was there.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
I did find that interesting. The next thing that was sort of interesting as well was that Indaika had a nasal polyp that was noticed when he turned one. So there's a couple things that are interesting about this. The first is that because Indica and Kakshapa are monozygotic twins, they should have either both had it or both not had it because they share the same.
It should be exactly the same.
Yeah.
Right.
Kakshapa didn't have it. Only Indica had it. The other thing is that polyps are not usually diagnosed in newborns or anyone younger. It's usually much later in life once it starts causing problems and things like that.
Right.
So the fact that he's one and they've found it is really odd. And thirdly, they were sort of sitting there and they're trying to figure out why this polyp is there. And what they think is that when Dashana was lying in the hospital dying of encephalitis, he had lots of tubes everywhere, but he had two up his nose. He had an oxygen tube and he also had a feeding tube. And what they think was that with Dashana, the tube would irritate his nose and he ended up getting scars and things like that. And they were noticeable when he died. So they think that the scars have manifested as a polyp in Dyke's life. So that's like a sign that he's reincarnated of Dashana.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which I was sort of like, I don't know about that. Like, I would sort of more expect maybe he'd have a scar on the inside of his nose or something like that rather than...
What's a polyp?
I think it's at like a...
Like a little mass or something.
Yeah, like a little growth or something. It's usually like benign, but you can get like breathing difficulties and things like that.
Hmm.
But I don't know. It was something interesting though. I think the biggest thing for me with that is that his twin doesn't have it. I think that's really interesting. Which, if you remember back to the Pollock case, there was stuff like that as well with birthmarks and very similar that kind of way. So that's pretty much it from what I've found about this case. So as you can see, there's not a lot of information. It's very vague. It's sort of like, oh yeah, like no, he went up there and it was all great and he was bang on about everything. But it's like, take it with a grain of salt. But I think what I really liked about this story was just how much it matched up with the signs in the Pollock case.
Yeah.
So you've got like similar birthmarks, stuff going on. You've got past life memories. You've got things like that.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool. If you want to look into it more, obviously I've done two twins reincarnations cases, but there's so much more information on it. The stories are all really freaky. There's a lot of compilation articles where you can just read a bunch of stories. Stuff with kids is really interesting because there's a lots of like single kids that have kind of grown up with lives and it gets very, very creepy. But yeah, that's probably all I'm going to cover for reincarnated twins for a while. But yeah, that's
really cool because I like the, especially because if they're Buddhists, I believe that they're, like, reincarnation is kind of like a normal thing.
Yeah.
So that they're probably just like, oh yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, it doesn't like go against anybody's beliefs, which is probably why they were like, dope. Like, they weren't like, oh my god, this is insane or anything.
Yeah, like, it's not so much going to make headlines and stuff over there, but if it's in Western culture, we're going to be like, holy shit, it's reincarnation. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I like to think that reincarnation could be possible. I don't really know where I sit on it.
I feel bad for the little kid that the other one.
Kakshapa.
That nobody believed him.
I know, this is why I find it, like, so confusing, because why would they believe one twin, but then the other one, they're just like, oh no, shut up, like, go over there.
Yeah. Maybe because they didn't have anything to sort of go along with it.
I can understand.
Like,
that.
He didn't have enough information.
Yeah. Like, maybe he's just not carried on or something, but yeah. I mean, I sort of expected them to at least be like, okay, well, Kakshapa was saying this and this and this, and these were the things he was
doing. It's not like you could Google it.
I tried to Google it.
No, as in, like, them.
Oh, back there, yeah. No.
They couldn't Google it.
But they could have, like, they could have, well, like they did with Indica, they could have asked around and be like, look, my 3-year-old's spouting this crazy nonsense. Have you heard anything about it?
But I mean, how many people in the 70s in Sri Lanka died after being killed by an insurgent? They're going to have a long ass list.
Yeah, fair enough. I just think you should have been encouraged, you know?
Yeah, like, sure. Don't stifle your kids' dreams.
Yeah.
Let them look into their past lives.
Yeah.
Cool. That was really cool. I like it. I'm glad you followed up on it.
Yeah, it was like a loose end and now it's all tied up and closed, yeah, put it away.
Got that little bit of information in there, which is good.
Yeah, I'm really shattered that no one can see my hand gestures that I just did. Because I tied a bow with my
hands. I can see them.
You can see them, but I kind of wanted...
They bother me a little bit, but I can still see them.
Why?
Because you keep almost touching the microphone.
I know not to touch it.
It's I know, but...
If I do this, is that making you nervous?
I hate you sometimes. Okay.
I'll go back to playing.
Yeah, you keep playing with the BB-8. Okay. So, the reason Laura has a list of facts is because
I got a warning.
My story is a lot.
Yeah, this is the first case where Ashley has pre-warned me before coming in today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I usually don't. So I texted Laura and I was like, can you bring some palate cleansers? Because, like, oh boy, you're going to need them. And then she goes, oh, what? Really? Worse than babies in an oven? And I go, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a mixture of keen to hear, but also very nervous because, I mean, it was babies in an oven. That's pretty damn bad.
Yeah.
So I don't know what...
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
So, this is Albert Fish.
Interesting name. Not the most terrifying name I've ever heard.
Oh, it will be. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so, Hamilton Fish. Okay, yeah, Albert.
Right.
So, first off, writing this was very confusing because I always refer to my criminals and my killers by their surname.
Yep.
I just had to keep calling him Fish, which is really interesting. Anyway, so Albert Fish had a bunch of serial killer aliases.
Okay.
They weren't really connected. They weren't connected to him until like later on. So he had such things as the Gray Man.
Mm-hmm.
The Werewolf of Wisteria.
Okay.
The Brooklyn Vampire.
Mm-hmm.
The Moon Maniac, cool. Which I don't think is great, but I'll let it slide.
It's a bit cartoony.
Yeah. Mm. And the Boogeyman.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's covering all the mythical creatures there.
Yeah. We just need like a fucking Yeti or something in there. Bigfoot. Anyway.
Bigfoot, where you at?
Yeah. Born in Washington in 1870,
mm-hmm.
To a father who was 73 at the time of his birth. His mum was 30.
Ooh.
Yeah.
An age gap love.
Yeah. So he went by Albert because he kept being called Ham and Eggs.
Ham, Eggs, and Fish.
Which I love. Yeah, Ham, Eggs, and Fish. So that was a nickname that was actually given to him at an orphanage that he spent a lot of his time at because his father died when he was 5.
Okay.
So mum was 35, had, I think, a couple too many kids, and couldn't look after them without the husband for a little while. So apparently it was normal to just ship your kid off to an orphanage and then take him back.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So he had what I've written here. I've described it as a whole full ass bucket.
Okay.
Of family mental illness history.
Oh, that's fun.
Mm, yeah. So he had a few immediate relatives, had schizophrenia,
mm-hmm.
And other more removed relatives had things like hallucinations and mania, which same, not the hallucinations, but the mania for sure. So the orphanage Fish was given to as a child, was known to be abusive. It wasn't like a secret or anything. Mm-hmm. And Fish is actually quoted. He has a quote out there that's saying, "I was there till I was nearly 9 and that's where I got started wrong. We were unmercifully whipped. I saw boys doing many things they should not have done."
Oh God. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. At the age of 10, Fisher's mum reclaimed him. So he was in the orphanage for about 5 years.
Okay.
And at 12, he was then in his first relationship with a telegraph boy.
Okay.
How old were you when you had your first relationship?
Literally like 17.
Really?
Yeah.
Tana likes to say it was when he was like 3 or 6. I don't think that counts.
No.
No.
Oh, like you're in like primary school and you're like playing kiss chasey or something. And
yeah, that's when you get married and
yeah,
that kind of
stuff.
If
we're talking about that, then like 5 or something.
No, that doesn't count.
No,
that's
it's
not
like,
a real thing.
By the time you're like, you're my boyfriend, you're my girlfriend, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I was in year 7 or 8.
Oh, okay.
I'd say.
Yeah, I can't remember the grade.
Year 7 and it carried over into year 8.
Yeah.
No, I broke up with my first boyfriend. Here we go. I don't know why this is happening. I broke up with my first boyfriend because he played D&D. I'm a DM now.
Yeah.
I have a D&D tattoo.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, thanks, Andy. he's not going to listen to this. Oh, yeah. Okay, so the telegraph boy, couldn't find any info about him whatsoever.
Okay.
So I think it's just mentioned. What I did find... was that he introduced Fish. So Fish is 12. I don't know how old the Telegraph Boy is.
Right.
But he's into some sexual fetishes that are disturbing to say the least.
Okay, see, in my head, I'm picturing like maybe two 12-year-old boys. Like
I'm thinking like 12 and 17 or something. I'm thinking there's a dynamic there that's not right.
See, that's what I'm thinking now, because 12-year-olds generally don't have sexual fetishes. So
not like this.
I'm very nervous now.
Drinking urine.
Oh, God.
And eating feces.
Guys, just...
How's BB-8 treating you? Not a big squeeze.
I can't deal.
That's all on that. That's all I got. I couldn't find anything else.
Okay, I feel like that should have been looked into. Like, someone should have heard that relationship and looked into it and put a stop to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, around the same time, Fish would also get into voyeurism, which is kind of normal, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
it depends how criminal you get with it.
Yeah, well, he would go to public baths and watch boys undress.
Not great.
No, not great, but also not super unusual. Like, when you're 12, you're like, what's happening?
Yeah.
You know?
It's like he's in that it's a developmental thing. Phase. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
But then he would also start writing obscene letters to women who put in any sort of classified.
And we've just hop skipped and jumped over the line.
Yeah, that's a triple jump and a half. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wait, so is he 12 writing these letters?
It's between 12 and 20, so teenage. He's a teenager, yeah.
Still young.
Yeah. Mm. So 1890, so now he's 20, okay. Fish moved to New York. He claimed around then he actually became a sex worker, and he also took up raping young boys on the side, which is one of the worst side hustles you could ever have.
Well, that's the whole... It's not a side hustle, guys.
It's not.
You know, sex work, we're sex positive here.
Yeah.
That's fine. Don't rape people.
We shouldn't even have to say
shouldn't
it.
Shouldn't need to be said.
So now we skip to 29, so 1898. Mm. He got married. Well, his mum arranged it.
That suddenly makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. She was just 20. So she was 20 years old. He's 29. Okay. They had 6 kids.
It's too many kids.
Yeah. 4 boys, 2 girls.
Oh, I really hope the kids stay fine.
Fish mentions, regardless, so obviously a lot of this stuff, we're getting quotes and stuff. He gets interviewed and all that kind of stuff. Fish mentions, regardless of his children, he continued to molest boys under 6 years old, and when his boyfriend at the time took him to a wax museum, he saw a, dissected penis, and became obsessed with any and all ideas of sexual mutilation.
I really hate the direction that this is going in.
You should. That's a correct response to have.
Thank you.
1903...
Okay.
At 33 years old, he was arrested for grand larceny.
That's
I have mild. No other information on that either.
Yeah, that's milder than what I thought he would be arrested for.
It's a weird thing to be arrested for the first time after everything else we've heard so far.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. 1910. So he's 40 now.
Okay.
He met a man half his age.
Mm-hmm.
A 19-year-old Thomas Kedden.
Okay.
Don't get attached. 10 days into their relationship... Fish took Kedden to an old farmhouse where he tortured him for 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Weeks.
That's unimaginable.
2 weeks. Also, where the fuck did his wife think he was for 2 weeks? I just thought about that then.
I mean, okay, so if she's like arranged marriage, they've had 6 kids, I imagine it's not.
She doesn't give a shit about him right now.
She's like, he fucked off for 2 weeks. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Eventually, Fish cut Kedden's penis in half while he was still alive.
Oh, my God.
Rather than killing Kedden, Fish poured bleach over the wound, wrapped it in a handkerchief, covered in Vaseline, left him $10, kissed him goodbye, and left.
I don't know what to say to that.
No, I'll move on. Okay.
Oh, no.
1917.
I don't like how there's more.
It's just that, to me, it's a weird... What... Like, the bleach, obviously he thinks he's disinfecting the wound.
Yeah, not how bleach works.
No. wrapped it in a handkerchief. I guess this is him sort of trying to administer first aid, but also in a way that he doesn't give a shit about.
Mm.
Left him $10. which maybe at the time was a lot more. I mean, it's early 19. It's probably quite a bit.
It's not enough for flame.
I wrote $10. Oh, no, this is US $10. Yeah. Kissed him goodbye. Like, he just thought this was a normal sexual encounter. I'd hate to see how, or like, not see, I don't want to see that.
No.
I'd hate to know how his kids were conceived.
Oh, I don't want to know that.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe that's why she doesn't give a shit about where she is, where
well,
he is.
Well, the only thing is, like, a lot of his sexual, apart from the letters, a lot of his sexual crimes tend to be aimed at men. So it is possible that his kids were conceived consensually.
Normally.
I didn't want to say normally, but yeah, normally. Without mutilation and rape.
Normally for the time.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, okay. So I'm spitballing here. I'm still thinking about the wound dressing thing. What if it was like, because you know how sometimes, like, if you think about
I'm really excited to hear your explanation of this.
Well, you know how like sometimes people that do mutilation and cut things off, they like to keep them around. You know, in jars, or they like to spend time with it. Or...
He didn't cut it off, though.
No, he just cut it in half.
Yeah, to look like the model.
But it's like, maybe he cut it in half, but then he was like, he wanted to keep the experience going. So then he's like, oh, I'm going to dress it. I'm going to interact with it further.
Yeah, maybe.
That's what I'm
I don't
thinking.
Know, for 2 weeks and then he does that. I feel like that last bit is like I'm done now.
Yeah.
10 minutes, off you pop.
Yeah,
see you at the shops, bye.
I'm also really surprised he didn't kill him. Because, like, by 10...
Well, there's actually quotes of Fish saying, never found out what happened to him. So, I think he might have died there or something and just nobody knew. Because it was an abandoned farmhouse.
I hope he got away. But from what it sounds like, I'm not sure he did.
Yeah. Because Fish just got on a train and peaced out. Like...
Peace out, homies.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of vessels down there and veins and stuff. I feel like there's an artery that was definitely not intact.
Yeah. Oh, let alone the crappy dressings you said. Like, it would be gangrenous.
Oh, yeah. In early 1900s, doesn't matter what he tried to do. That wasn't going to help.
No. Plus, in a barn. Like, you know what barns are like.
Yeah. Anyway.
Poor guy.
Moving on. Sorry, Tom. 1917, 47 years old. His wife leaves him. About fucking time, Lee.
Yep. Yeah.
Unfortunately, she left him with all of his kids.
I'm suddenly very nervous.
He began to have hallucinations at the same time, which I feel like if you're suddenly left with 6 children, I would also start having hallucinations too.
I would not be okay.
No. Around this time, Fish began to harm himself in a sexual way by inserting needles into his groin.
I've seen an x-ray of
that. Yeah, you have. Mm-hmm.
Mm, gosh. I would rather him do it to himself, though.
Oh, yeah, I'd rather him just keep doing that to himself than do anything to anyone else.
Do whatever you like.
Yeah. X-rays revealed that Fish had at least 29 needles lodged into his pelvic region.
Oh,
I can't be comfortable to walk or sit or do... Like, there's something, you know? Yeah, just... I just keep thinking about, like, just sitting and... Oh, hold on. Oh, no, that's fine. I'm... Can't read. It's all right.
Okay.
I can't remember what we were saying. We had static interference and I lost what was happening. Anyway, let's move on to the next bit.
We were talking about needles in his groin. Needles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like just sitting down, walking.
I mean, people who do that though get off on the pain. That's why they do it. So it's like every time they move and it flinches, they're like, oh yeah.
29.
29 is a lot.
It's an excessive amount of anything.
In a really gross way, I want to know if he was well endowed. Because if he's smaller and he's got 29 in there, that's very different.
Well, it says groin. It doesn't necessarily mean...
I thought you said in his...
No, in his pelvic region and into his groin.
See, I could...
So that could even just be like in his abdomen or something as well.
Well, because in the x-ray I've seen, it was in the urethra.
Was it?
Yeah. Because it's a hole, so they put it up the hole.
Oh, that's so much worse.
That's what I'm thinking. Because otherwise I'm like, is he just stabbing himself? Which I'm like, that'd be very noticeable.
Albert Fish x-ray. Give me what you got, Google.
Did they have x-rays?
Images. Yeah, how do you think they saw the fucking needles?
Oh, good point. Well, they could have just visually seen them.
I can't tell what that is.
Wait, can I see?
Like, that looks like his spine, right?
Yeah, that's spinal column.
And that's his... Oh, that's his pelvis.
Yeah, that's the pelvis.
That's bones.
So it would... These have come up.
But there's ones all over the place. Like, there's some up here. I think he's just putting them wherever he wants.
Yeah, so it looks like dermal insertion. So, like, through the layers of the skin rather than...
Yeah, that's what I thought it was.
That's not what I thought it was.
Oh, you thought it was right up the winky.
I saw different x-rays where people had inserted things in the
urethra. Oh, yeah. I know that's a thing, but I didn't think that's where he was putting his needles.
That's why I was like 29 in there. I was like, oh my God.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's like one of those mechanical pencils, but you fill it up too much.
That's a weirdly accurate metaphor.
I'm real good at those. Okay. You're welcome. All right. So some more things that fish would start doing is he would paddle himself with a wooden paddle that was covered in nails. And my favorite thing I have ever written down is he would insert lighter fluid covered wool into his anus and set it on fire. I don't know why that makes me giggle so much.
Oh my. Okay, so all I'm thinking about now is when I would go to parties and guys would light their farts on fire.
I've never seen anyone do that. I hope to never see anyone do that.
I've seen multiple guys do that.
But I've heard of it, which is, I think, why this makes me laugh.
Yeah, it's just not that far removed.
Yeah.
If I'm honest.
It's very close.
It is, yeah.
Sorry. Amazingly, what just happened? Did you just fart?
No, I'm still thinking about it.
Oh.
Because I went like,
oh, I didn't hear it probably.
No.
I'm
just still thinking about it and it's making me laugh. But
great.
Yeah.
Amazingly, Fish would never actually physically abuse his kids.
Okay, that's what I've been waiting to hear.
But.
Why is that butt with you?
He did encourage them and their friends to use the paddle on him, which is 100% going to leave a mark on their emotional development.
Oh, well done.
Round of applause. Around the same sort of time, he started to serve him and his children raw meat for almost every meal.
Why?
I don't fucking know. Why does he do anything else he does?
Well, I mean, those are all sort of weird sexual stuff. Like, why is he all of a sudden like, you know what, raw meat's
the way to
go?
I mean, he was Brooklyn Vampire and Werewolf of Wisteria.
Werewolf thing is making more sense.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So Fish confessed that in around 1919, he had stabbed a intellectually disabled boy in Georgetown. He also claimed that he would pay kids to bring him other children who he would then torture, mutilate, and murder with his meat cleaver, butcher's knife, and handsaw. So I didn't write it down, but I do know there's a story of some of the kids that would like hang out with him,
mm-hmm.
which... there's so many things that I have to say about that, but
yep.
They were wrestling while he wasn't like with them. Like they were just, you know,
roughhousing,
fight with each other sometimes. Yeah. They knocked his mattress off of like the hollowed out bed frame that it was on, and underneath they saw the bloody covered tool. So they fucking bolted. Yeah.
Good.
But apparently they didn't tell anyone.
I mean, they're kids. They probably got scared. They're probably like, if I tell, I'll get in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, it came out eventually because otherwise how would that story be out there? But like,
yeah.
I feel like that's a bit of a red flag.
That's a little bit of a red flag.
Yeah. All right. So now we're getting into the bigger crimes.
The bigger crimes?
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy.
Yeah. No, there are bigger crimes. July 1924, Fish attempted to abduct 8-year-old Beatrice Keel.
Oh, no.
From her family farm when her mother chased him off, which I think is great. Okay,
she's fine. We're good.
Yeah, so she was playing in the front of the farm and then he's, like, speaking to her out the front or whatever, and then the mum comes out, and in my head, I assume, with a rake and or a broom and chases him off.
I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He later attempted to sleep in their barn.
What?
But he was actually thrown out by the dad, and then he started running around yelling about the fact that God was telling him to sexually mutilate children, which I don't think is a way to get into somebody's house.
No, I think if you're going to go with icebreakers, I don't think
that's a bad one. That's level of icebreakers, that's a bad one.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
3 days later,
okay.
9-year-old Francis McDonald was reported missing by his parents. He was last seen after playing catch with his friends. His body was found hanging by a tree not far from his home. He had been assaulted and strangled with his own suspenders.
Aww.
During his autopsy, they found his legs and abdomen had been extensively cut.
Oh, no.
His left hamstring had been almost entirely stripped of flesh.
And there were multiple witnesses of McDonald with a grey moustached man, which is where Fish got the grey man as an alias, although it wasn't actually connected to him until later.
Okay.
1927, so this is 3 years later,
mm-hmm.
3-year-old Billy Beaton, his 12-year-old brother, and their friend, 4-year-old Billy Gaffney, were playing in their apartment hallway when both the younger boys disappeared after the older brother went inside to grab something for them.
Okay.
3-year-old Billy Beaton was found alive.
Okay.
And on the roof of the apartment building.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Was he harmed or?
No, he was fine.
Okay, good.
Billy Beaton, they're both Billies. Billy Beaton said that the boogeyman took his 4-year-old friend Gaffney, whose body was actually never found.
Oh.
Yeah. After Fish's arrest, Fish gets arrested eventually.
Oh, good.
After Fish's arrest, an eyewitness came forward saying that he saw a child struggling with an old grey man matching Fish's description on the tram at the time, and the missing persons team at the time was able to pin Fish as a painter in the nearby area.
Okay, so it's starting to come in.
Yeah, so there's him being seen on the...
Wait, this was after the arrest?
That's after the arrest that guy came forward. Yeah.
See something? Say something, guys.
Yeah, for sure. Gaffney's mother actually visited Fish when he was in prison, mm-hmm. but Fish refused to speak to her and instead just cried.
Pussy.
After 2 hours of her being there trying to get him to talk to her, she gave up, but there are some sources out there that says that she never actually believed it was him.
Okay.
Which I think is part of the psychopathy of, like, making her believe that it's not him and crying or whatever it was.
Yeah. Oh, I can't believe I'm accused of this. I would never hurt them.
Well, he never denied it either, though.
Yeah, that's
he just refused to speak to her and started crying.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if that's kind of like a bit of a false hope in the mum being like, well, maybe he's still out there or whatever it is because he's never been found, you know.
See, for me, I'm almost like, I think he's like, oh, I can't face her. It's a false attempt at remorse.
Yeah, could be. Know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's just because he didn't actually say anything. So it's like, what are you trying to do right now?
Yeah.
Please explain. We would like to at least kind of understand.
Yeah. You're locked up. Like, the least.
Yeah. It's not going to make a difference. You might as well tell them. I think it's, is it Canada? Oh, yeah. There's a, just side note, there's a mother of a woman that went missing whose body was never found. I think it's in Canada. And she's trying to get people to sign a petition, pass a bill, saying that if there's a murderer or a serial killer caught
mm-hmm.
and he goes to jail, they are not going to be eligible for parole unless they reveal the bodies of victims that they know that they're connected to but haven't revealed it.
I love that.
That's so good.
That's brilliant. We need that everywhere.
We need that here because then we might be able to find out where the fuck Sarah Spears is.
Maybe we'll get on making a petition for that because I think that's a brilliant
idea. Yeah, we'll go and find it for sure.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them try and make deals anyway and they're like, I'll tell you where her body is if I get lesser time or a lesser charge or something. But then they lead them to false locations anyway.
Yeah.
So I like that. I think that's brilliant.
Can't remember where it was. Oh, yeah. Okay. So 1928. So this is a year after Billy... Gaffney.
Right.
Fish answers a classified ad. So there's a man, Edward Budd, looking for work.
This guy needs to be banned from newspapers.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Just anything. There's a lot of things he should not be allowed to do.
Yes.
Fish visits Bud, says his name is Frank Howard, and that he will hire him and Bud's friend.
Mm-hmm.
When Fish returns to Bud's home with the intent... That wasn't a sentence. When Fish returns to Bud's home.
Okay.
So Fish goes back to Bud's place with the intent to tie him up, mutilate him, and let him bleed to death. Fish meets Bud's sister, Grace.
Okay.
Who was 10 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. So, born in 1870, this is 1928. So he's 58.
Wait, what year was he born?
1970.
Okay.
Yep. So I needed an IT.
I'm there.
I did math.
Well done.
That was hard. For some fucking reason,
mm-hmm.
somehow, Fish convinced Grace's parents to let Grace attend a fictional party for Fish's niece, who obviously didn't exist. And Grace never returned home.
I mean, I know that, you know, killers can be very charming and very manipulative, but how the hell did he get a mother to be like, yeah, sure, take my 10-year-old daughter?
I mean, unless she's like, oh, it's just a party and my husband's going to be working, my son's going to be working for him, and like, I don't know how hard times were to get a job or whatever, but it's not worth it.
No, I'd be like, look, you know, okay, maybe that's a party, but like, I don't know you, I don't know the family, maybe next time, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Or go with him.
Like, yeah, oh, I'll come too. Yeah. Then you're also dead. Grace never returned home. They actually ended up arresting a man named Charles Pope, who was charged for her murder. And this was on the word of his ex-wife.
That makes no sense.
So she's been like, it was him, he's totally done it. I don't know, to be vindictive or something. Or maybe he did have the potential to do it. Either way, he was actually found not guilty. So he wasn't, I can't remember if he was actually in prison for it for any point of time. Okay. Maybe awaiting trial he was. But eventually he was found not guilty. So 1930, Albert Fish is now 60 years old. And somehow he gets remarried. This one's not arranged by his mum.
He's been married twice. Once arranged, once not. He's now 60. Killed people, done horrible things. I'm still single. What does that say about me?
You yell at people when you talk at them.
I think that's endearing. I think it shows enthusiasm.
That's great.
Anyways, I'll stop being narcissistic and we'll go on with the story.
So Estella Wilcox, who's kind of around the same age as him, what I can find. So
age appropriate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It could have been just, you know, desperation. I think back then it wasn't great to be, you know, single or widowed or whatever, an as old a maid. Woman. Yeah.
Quote marks.
Whatever no, that what nonsense doing. Is. The same year, he was arrested for sending an obscene letter to a woman who answered his ad for a maid. Following that, he was sent to a psychiatric facility for observation.
Okay.
So he was sent for observation. He wasn't held for a certain amount of time, which I feel like if you spoke to him for long enough at a psychiatric facility, you should be able to figure it out. That something's not right.
Just be like, what are your hobbies? Boom.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you keep sticking things into your groin? Late 1934, Grace Budd's mother received an anonymous letter, which she had to have her son read to her because she was illiterate.
Oh,
I know. Why is that just so adorable? So the letter is super long and it's just spelt all fucky. Like, there's just so many things wrong with this letter.
Right. Okay.
But essentially it talked about, it was anonymous, and the author was writing about a friend who was stranded in Hong Kong at one point, where they would eat children because there was a famine, and animal meat was too expensive.
Of course.
And when the author's friend came back, he kidnapped, killed, and ate two young boys after torturing them to make them tender.
Delicious.
Mm-hmm. The letter then talks about how this friend shared his taste for human flesh with the author, so much so that when he met Bud and Grace, he said that he's made up his mind to eat her.
Right.
Yeah. The author describes, how he said he was taking her to a party. So now we know the author is Fish.
Yep.
obviously, the whole fucking story is about him. And then he killed and cut her up for meat, which he says it took him 9 days to eat her.
I gotta call bullshit.
Yep. so he finishes the letter with, "I did not fuck her, though. I could have if I wished. She died a virgin."
Oh, well, now he's a saint.
Yeah.
Thanks,
well
man.
Done. So the act of cannibalism,
mm-hmm.
the friend in Hong Kong, or even the famine at the time could not be verified.
Okay.
So this is another one of his hallucinations.
Well.
And just lunacy, like.
Did they find her body, though?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. The only detail that I'm sort of like, it could be true, is the whole I ate her thing because he did take her to a party or to a party.
There's no record of him being cannibalistic in any way though.
Well, no, it's just, it's
but it does make sense with the link of like the, I've already forgotten his name. I am so sorry, child. Francis McDonald, mm-hmm. where there was strips of his calves and thighs and stuff missing.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was feeding his kids like raw meat and stuff like that. But
yeah,
it's also sort of, it could be sort of more of a fascination with sort of dissection and stuff like that rather than the act of cannibalism. So
yeah.
Who fucking knows?
It's unconfirmed, but out of the whole letter, the only thing I would put a question mark
to. That would make slightly more sense than any of the other stuff.
Is that right? The whole, like, I had a friend, he was in China, he introduced me to... I'm like, no.
Yeah, like, why? It's fucked regardless. You don't need to try and justify yourself, dude.
Like, no way someone's going to read that and be like, oh, well, if your friend introduced you, like, that's fine then. Like,
yeah, oh, no, I mean, if China's doing it.
Yeah, okay, all right. It's fine then. Fine.
Yeah. So the letter itself was delivered in an envelope. I put letters in that word that didn't exist. envelope. That had the emblem of New York Private Chauffeurs Benevolent Association.
Oh, I love the word benevolent.
I thought benevolent was a bad thing.
It is. Doesn't it mean evil or something?
Oh, that's what I thought. So why is it? Anyway.
I gotta look this
up. You gonna Google it?
I'm gonna Google it.
All right, hold on.
Keep going there.
Do.
Oh, doesn't mean what we thought.
It doesn't? Oh, fuck.
It means well-meaning and kindly.
What? Wow.
What are we?
I was thinking of benevolent God.
Yeah.
Like, that's the... I guess it could be...
Could it be like felt that. Different?
Unless we're just, you know...
Unless we're sarcastic. Stupid.
We just think everybody's being sarcastic. Anyway. No. So, a janitor... They trace it back to a janitor that had actually taken the stationery home from work. Oopsie. But left it in his rooming house, which is like a share house.
Ooh.
The landlady of the rooming house let police know that Albert Fish had just checked out of that same room.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yep. Investigator King was the lead investigator.
Cool name.
He waited outside his room until Fish came back. I couldn't find how long it was, but I really hope it was like a couple of days because that's some dedication and that's great.
Yeah. See, I'm picturing like, you know, like tigers in the wild. They're like waiting for their prey.
It's like hiding behind grass with like war paint and shit on.
Yeah.
Fish, once approached, Fish actually agreed to go in for questioning, but then he attacked King with a razor.
Oh, God.
King disarmed him promptly and arrested him.
Oh, because King's a boss and I knew also, that from day one.
He's 65 now. You ain't no sprightly young man no more.
No, you tried. Know? You failed.
Yeah. The next sentence, I love that I've written, Albert Fuckhead Fish didn't even try to deny Grace's murder.
Okay.
1935 was when Ham and Eggs was put on trial, and regardless of the jury agreeing he was definitely insane after a massive amount of testimony to prove it, they sentenced him to death anyway.
Oh, excellent. They're like,
we don't care how insane you are. You're fit to stand trial and you're going to die about it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. He's confirmed to have killed 3 children, but he has another 5 victims suspected.
Okay.
So those are Emmett Richardson, age 5, Yetta Abramowitz, age 12, Robin Jane Liu, age 6, Mary Ellen O'Connor, age 16, and Benjamin Collings, age 17. Old Grey Ham and Eggs gave his lawyer his final statement, written just hours before his execution.
Okay.
But when reporters asked his lawyer what it said, he said, I'll never show it to anyone. It was the most filthy string of obscenities that I've ever read. Yep.
You know it's bad when your lawyer won't even read it.
Yeah.
Just like, no.
Yeah.
We don't need to hear that.
Yeah. So Hamilton Howard Fish was then fried fish January 16th, 1936. I'm very proud of that line.
You're just sitting there at the mic just grinning like, yeah, I did that.
It was great. It was 1 o'clock in the morning when I read that. Yeah, so that is how Albert Fish, that happened.
That was absolutely horrifying. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. Thank you for listening. Yeah, so that was, it was such a really interesting story, but because it was older, there was lots of things that sort of I couldn't find anything on the second wife and
mm-hmm.
all sorts of stuff. So same sort of thing where there was bits all over the place, but just such a story.
Such what a twisted man. Dude. Yeah.
What a big trash human.
Oh, God.
What a garbage.
I just wish he could have kept his interests to himself.
Mm.
Do whatever you want to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
Just don't do it to others.
Yeah. Insert needles as many as you want.
Mm-hmm.
But then be done with it.
Yeah. don't mutilate other people.
Yeah. Do you want to finish us off with a fact?
Yeah, I think we need to find... Oh, I have a good one, actually.
Okay.
During a bear hunting trip, Theodore Roosevelt refused to shoot a bear tied to a tree because he believed it was unsportsmanlike.
Fair.
Yeah. This incident became the topic of a political cartoon published in the Washington Post on November 16, 1902. Inspired by the cartoon, inventor Morris Mitchum created a bear cub soft toy and called it Teddy's Bear. And that's how teddy bears became popular.
Oh, I love that!
Isn't that just the best?
That's so cute!
So then there's like, I'm going to describe the pictures. So there's a picture of Theodore Roosevelt
mm-hmm.
with his monocle looking all dapper. And then there's a picture of the cartoon that was in the Washington Post where there's like a depiction of Roosevelt and he's kind of standing with his arm out and he's refusing to shoot the bear. And then there's another man who, it's actually really horrible. I'm going to show you this and then I'm going to try and describe it.
Oh, the poor baby bear.
There's a little baby bear that's of course drawn adorably.
Looks a little bit more like Mickey Mouse than a bear, but I'll let it slide.
Well, I think it looks like a teddy bear. So it's sort of
I get it. Yeah. Okay.
So it's like a teddy bear looking bear and it's got a rope around its neck and it's tied to a tree and there's another man holding the rope waiting for Roosevelt to shoot it. And so Roosevelt's holding out his hand. And he's like, no, I'm not going to. But that was the cartoon that was published.
That's great. That's a cute little fact.
I might put that as one of my pictures for this week.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because I could not find pictures of the Indiker and Karkchopper.
Yeah, okay.
Twins, so.
That's adorable. Look out for that on our Instagram.
Yeah. How's that? Something actually delightful on our podcast.
Oh, first time for everything.
Yeah, exactly. It's not going to be a running theme, but it'll happen occasionally.
It'll happen when we feel like we need it.
Yeah, only when you share something absolutely horrible and we just need to cleanse.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So thanks so much for listening to that this week. Keep an eye out for announcements and stuff that are coming out. If you listen on iTunes or anything like that, if you could chuck us a rate and review on iTunes, that would be super handy dandy.
It would be very appreciative.
Yes. Maybe just share us with a friend.
Yeah. That's everybody's homework for the week.
Everybody's homework for a week. Share us with a friend.
Yeah.
And chuck us a review on iTunes.
Yeah.
That would be fabulous.
We also have socials. So
yes.
If you want to follow us on Instagram, it's Dead Obsessed everywhere. So Dead Obsessed podcast on Instagram, Facebook. We have a group.
Yeah. Which is private. So you request to join and then if you start posting things about serial killers, your friends and family won't see it. So it's safe. Yeah. You'll be fine.
We have a few things.
Laura's in charge of the Facebook page because I don't use it. So
yeah. You're stuck with me, guys.
Have fun with that.
But we share pictures, we share all sorts of things. So if you want to check them out, do it.
And even if you don't, do it anyway. Anyway, thanks so much for listening. I've been Ash.
I've been Laura.
And we'll see you later.
Yay!